T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show, we're on the air. We are glad that you are on board. Hopefully, you're having a terrific day today. Certainly appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. By the way, we had mentioned Jerry Augustine was on just a little while ago. And, we had mentioned that Fox Sports Wisconsin is going to air some of these games. They're going to re-air some of these cool games from 1982 to 1987 over the next couple of weeks. Brewers fans can watch primetime re-airs beginning tomorrow through April 13th. There's going to be six games that are going to be beginning of the larger series of classic games to be announced. But Fox Sports Wisconsin's airing these games. Now, they're going to throw out there the Juan Nieves no-hitter, which is the only no-hitter in Brewers history. The Brewers setting the American League record with the 13th straight win for the start of a season. So on April 2nd, it's the Juan Nieves no-hitter. On April 6th, it's the Brewers getting their 13th straight win. On April 8th, it's the Angels at the Brewers, Old County Stadium, 1982 ALCS Game 3, 1982 ALCS Game 4, and 1982 ALCS Game 5. In succession, and then the Brewers at the Cardinals from 1982 on April 13th, game one of that 1982 World Series. So, I'm jonesing as much as anybody for, you know, baseball and competitiveness to come back, but I'm really looking forward to that. I did not grow up here. So I remember watching them at home because my interest was in the National League, but I was not a Cardinals fan. So when the Brewers went to the World Series, my dad and I, we just loved Storm and Gorman and Bambi's Bombers and just all the names, the nicknames and such. Unfortunately, as I'm sitting there rooting back in 1982, I'm in high school and I'm rooting for Gorman Thomas to keep it alive. He ends up. Unfortunately, I'm not ripping Gorman, but, you know, he struck out for the last out of the World Series. But I just remember rooting for Gorman Thomas, man. So not that we're going to see that game. That game is not going to air. But game one of that World Series will. So I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I can't wait. At least it's going to give us baseball enthusiasts something to latch on to. You know, we talked about this the other day. If there's some games that you could go back and watch, what would they be? And I think that would be fantastic. Mark says, one of the things I've gotten into a lot more is sports and music. There's been a couple of guys over time that have gotten into music and playing bands. Can you name some of them? I don't remember. You know, the only guy that I know of that plays in a band, and the only reason I know this is Kyle Rudolph, the tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. He graduated from the same high school I played at and graduated from. And Kyle is a very good friend of Darius Rucker. And Darius Rucker, lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish, went out on his own, sings a lot of country. Anyway, Darius Rucker was scheduled in May to play a benefit concert at my high school. Now, they pushed it back. It's going to actually happen in July for this, like, sold-out event. But the opening act for this is going to be, remember the pitcher Bronson Arroyo? I think he pitched for the Red Sox, and he pitched for the Reds. But Bronson Arroyo is big into music, a big-time guitar player. And so Bronson Arroyo is going to be the opening act for Darius Rucker. Now, that's kind of my long way to say that I know of Bronson Arroyo, somebody that's actually been in sports. But I don't know that many sports figures that have crossed over. There's been some actors, like Eddie Murphy got into singing. You know, the guy that played Sonny Crockett on Miami Vice put out an album. Rick Springfield, I mean, an actor, he was doing, I think, All My Children or something like that at the time, or General Hospital or something, and he ended up crossing over and became Rick Springfield, the singer, more so than the actor. But I don't know of a lot of athletes that crossed over, to be honest with you. So, you know, but interesting email. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? By all means, do so. CBS was doing a lot of what-ifs. And Brandon Cook's name came up. And they were kind of doing these what-if trades. What if this were to happen? And seven trades that they say need to happen, you know, that could possibly happen. And, you know, they talk about the Bengals trading away, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, his time is done. Also, the Redskins trading Trent Williams to the Buccaneers was another one. The Eagles trading Alshon Jeffrey over to the Colts, trying to make some deals that might make sense. And one of the things that they had started to talk about was, Brandon Cooks was another one that they said, hey, could he possibly go to the Green Bay Packers? And you know, look, hey, we know, you know, hey, there's, by the way, Brandon Cooks, at least according to Pro Football Rumors, only yesterday, the Rams have made some notable changes this offseason. Todd Gurley's release being the biggest move from the team and such, but Brandon Cooks, represents one of the biggest contracts on the Rams cap sheet. Now, Brandon Cooks, there was the talk about the team was shopping him. First of all, I don't think the Packers could take enough salary on to make them under the salary cap. But he's got $12 million in guarantees due this season. And then the Rams would not be expected to collect the full value for his twice-traded wideout, who was signed through 2023. But could Brandon Cooks, the wideout, be a guy that could be a candidate to come into Green Bay? And as much as I would love to see it, two things that bother me about this, okay? He's only produced 582 yards in 14 games. So they can't cut him because they owe him too much money. But his 1,000-yard streak stopped at 4 in a down year for the Rams offense last year. And again, 582 yards, 14 games. They didn't throw him the ball too much. They suffered without Gurley in that run game. Gurley was not Gurley. They when the run game was going well a couple of years ago, they threw the ball at will because everybody was concentrating on Todd Gurley up front. And when Todd Gurley came into the Super Bowl a couple of years ago down in Atlanta, I said it then. Mike Clemens and I were standing right there in front of that stage at State Farm Arena when they did opening night. He came down that stage and didn't look right and kept telling everybody, I don't have a knee issue. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And he was nicked up and has not looked the same since, to be quite honest with you. And then obviously everybody started keying on him and defenses started scheming for him. And then that left them to just Jared Goff and company to just throw the football. And Cooks did not have a good year. He was a little bit nicked up. But could he come back and have a resurgence in the Green Bay Packers organization if they could possibly pull off some type of trade? Now, I'll say this. I don't think the Packers would be able to take on that money and still down the road sign the players they want to sign, including Kenny Clark. I just don't think they'd be able to do it. So there's a lot of people that the Twitter world was really starting to buzz with Brandon Cook's talk. And could he end up going to the Green Bay Packers? Could the Packers and Gutekunst make some type of move? They'd have to finagle some things. And if they did bring in an additional wideout, this is the reason Funchess makes the most sense, because of the deal, because of the incentives. He's got the ability to make, I think, over $5.5-6 million with his deal, which is loaded with incentives, if indeed he pans out. But you've got a lot of guaranteed money still that has to go to Brandon Cooks, which is the reason I don't think the Packers would do something like this. But there was talk that Joe, was it Corey Linsley I read that they were talking about the possibility of a trade because they need a center?
Yeah, the proposed trade was either giving up Corey Linsley straight up for Brandon Cooks or a 2020 second round pick, which would be the 62nd overall.
Yeah, now if you're giving up a pick, that's one thing. But if you're giving up salary for salary, maybe you can make something like that work. But man, I
would not make a trade either way.
I would
not give up Corey Linsley. I would not give up a second rounder. The big reason for me is Brandon Cooks has had 5 concussions over the last 6 years.
Right.
No, thank you.
Yep. No, I completely agree with that. But just in general, I just thought last year he was just stymied. And, you know, when they needed him most, he just wasn't able to get free. And he didn't have a good year last year, and they were relying more on Gurley the year before, which is the reason a lot of guys, he had one-on-one coverage downfield, and this year nobody worried about Gurley too much. So I know that it's out there. I know there's been a lot of talk about it. Peter King of NBC Sports wrote some things about Brandon Cooks as well. But when I saw the buzz, if you will, start, I kind of looked into it briefly, and I started flipping through scrolling through the internet, and I thought, this doesn't. First of all, yes, he's had in the past mad ball skills, but this does not sound like a Packers deal when you start taking on that much salary. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. Hey, there could possibly be a rematch on the horizon. Do we want to see it, or have we been there, done that? Stay tuned. I'll tell you what it is coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Hey, they have virtual appointments. Go to PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com. And check it out for yourself. They got virtual appointments, and I've been telling you about this for a while now. They've got a lot of good things going on at Pella Windows and Doors. You're at home, and you're looking at things to do and maybe improve your life, maybe improve the property value, but they're doing virtual appointments. Customers only have to click at PellaWI.com. You can make it exciting. They've got flexible financing right now, too, including no payments for 5 months, then 0% for 60 months. And they've got this stay-at-home order right now. And while it's going on, you get an additional 5% over and above the current offers. So there you go. So, look, you've got your choice. You can either have an in-home consultation or the virtual consultation. The additional 5% over and above all offers in effect as long as the safer-at-home orders are in place for the state of Wisconsin. So go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. Whether it's windows, screen doors, patio doors, the way I kind of had those installed at my house, and they get in and they get out, and they can measure and cut and manufacture, do all that different stuff for you. They're great people, and I've had a couple of you have said that you got Pella Windows and Doors from your home or for your home as well. And thank you. I love hearing about our sponsors. I love hearing good, positive feedback regarding our sponsors because, and as you know, anybody that I reference, that I speak of, I have used. I don't put my name on something that I've never used. I don't just say it to say it. And everything about our sponsors is fantastic. And if I have a bad experience, if there's a bad experience, I want to hear about it from you. as well. But I've heard nothing but great things about Pella Windows and Doors. I'm looking out of my Pella windows right now onto my patio, and the tiki bar is still covered up with that giant brown tarp I've had over it, and the wind beat the hell out of it the other day, as a matter of fact, and it's starting to shred a little bit, but thank God spring is right around the corner. I can't wait to get all the lights fixed and everything up and running again, and when that thing's lit up at night and it's warm out, it looks like a rooftop patio bar, and I can't wait for at least that season to be upon us. At least it'll give us something to do outside, some yard work, some things like that. So, hey, speaking of being outside again, there's a possible rematch in the making. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, possibly going at it again. Now, I got to admit, the first time these two squared off against one another and were talking and you had them mic'd up and such, found it fascinating, but it didn't turn out to be, I guess, I don't know what I wanted. You know, I left going, okay, you know, I enjoyed it, but, you know, I wanted more. Now, Joe, you being the golf enthusiast, does this trip your trigger?
Absolutely. I mean, I watched Tiger Phil the last time around, and I had a ball watching it. I think there were some things with the broadcast that I think could have been done a little bit differently. I think there could have been a little bit more of just hearing Tiger and Phil going back and forth instead of having, like, you know, 10 opinions from 10 different analysts. I mean, it was cool having Charles Barkley kind of make his piece on stuff, and, you know, he's always really entertaining. But now this I'm certainly interested in, and I would love to see this happen.
Yeah, I think golf enthusiasts would love to see it happen. Now, is there a projected time for this, or is this just in the talks right now?
This is just in the talks, but Phil Mickelson kind of alluded to it on Twitter the other day, and he said that, you know, hey, I don't like to, you know, mess around with you guys. My word is my word. So we'll see what happens here. But again, they're going to have to practice proper social distancing. It'll be interesting to see how that would all go down. But again, I've been saying this time and time again about the game of golf, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, but golf really is a good activity for social distancing. As long as the government's letting us go outside, golf, as long as you practice it the right way, the safe way, I don't think it's harming anyone. But what do I know?
Nope, I agree. I'd love to see golf being played again. As a matter of fact, I talked to a buddy of mine, Mike, over at Ironwood, and he said, you know, there's a petition out there. There's people out there that want to play, and he's got friends that have said, hey, you know, between you and me, can I come over and play? He's like, no, we can't open it up. We just, you know, we're waiting for the governor to say okay and at least give people the ability to make a determination as to whether or not they want to go social distance playing the game of golf. But as of right now, nah, baby, nah. So we're just all, I think, right now, just waiting for the game of golf to get the nod all over again. But Tiger and Phil possibly matching back up again. I'm with you in the sense that I find it fascinating. But I wanted to hear more of Tiger. I wanted to hear more of raw Tiger. Maybe you put it on a pay-per-view in that sense of just opening the mics fully and just saying, go at it. Because we've heard Tiger yell profanities on the golf course before, you know, when you're not supposed to hear them. Now it's like, just take the mic off, or just take the filter off. You know, just go ahead, mic them up, let it fly, whatever you hear, that type of thing. Maybe a cell phone rings, who knows? But Tiger and Phil possibly, Phil Mickelson putting it out there that they could possibly have a rematch in the works. Hey, coming up after the bottom of the hour, I want to remind you, yesterday on the big show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee, yesterday they had the former Brewers general manager on, Doug Melvin. And we're going to hear some things that Doug had to say yesterday on the program. So I want to get into that coming up in a little bit. Also, Bill Huber, PackerCentral.com and SI.com. He's going to join us coming up just after the top of the hour as well. We'll get back into the grading the Packers offseason thus far. I do want to get back into that discussion also. So that's something I want to get back into. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. The Tiger and Phil matchup, the one aspect of this that I find to the sidebar of this rather interesting, they're talking about having Tom Brady and Peyton Manning as a part of this as well, aren't they? That this could possibly come to fruition, where they might add Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, two rivals as well. Woods and Mickelson clashed for $9 million back in November of a couple of years ago. And Mickelson hinting on Twitter they might put it all together. According to golf.com, the rematch might take on a team element, namely the new Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady and his retired rival Peyton Manning. Both Brady and Manning are avid golfers. And last year, Manning played with Woods during a pro-am at the Memorial Tournament. The concept would call for Woods to pair with one quarterback. Mickelson then would team up with the other. So that would make it a little more enticing as well to see those two guys go at it. I can't imagine a lot of smack talk coming out of Peyton Manning, though. He just seems to be too good. Just too golly geez, old shucks type of guy. But, you know, hey, we'll see if it actually happens or not. Also, wanted to give you an update because over on the Facebook fan page, many of you are going at it regarding the best fictional coach. And I agree. Look, Lou Brown is not on that list. I didn't make the list up. All I did was put it out there again. So for those of you that are battling over there, you can write in the candidacy of Lou Brown because I think it's really funny. But Patches O'Houlihan, Morris Buttermaker are getting a ton of votes. So is Herman Boone out of Remember the Titans. But Mr. Miyagi is right there as well. But there's the fictitional coaches getting a lot of votes and a lot of play. And there is 116 comments on the Facebook fan page. You got to scroll down just a little bit, but there's arguments. It's great. It's really funny. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We are here. We are glad you are here as well. I know these are challenging times, but we certainly appreciate you spending some of your time with us. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much. A lot of what-ifs tomorrow on the program, and this was just sent to me. Joe, what do you think if we came up with a list of, if you're going to be quarantined fictitiously, fantasy, if you had to pick one person to be quarantined with, who would it be? Out of the list that we come up with. So maybe we put that list together. So if you had to be quarantined with one particular person, and we'll give you the list and you have to pick one, it's not a write-in candidacy. So we'll go in that direction, maybe with some athletes, actors, actresses, stuff like that. Maybe we'll get into that tomorrow. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe throw something like that. Mark had asked me the question. I thought, that's a damn good question. You know, if you had to be cooped up with one person for the next month, because they're saying now, you know, late April, the end of April, beginning of May, when we're starting to get out of this, or at least hopefully get out of this, you know, self-distancing methodology, who would you want to be quarantined with? So maybe we'll get into that coming up. Speaking of people that are quarantined, another guy that you know, is off on his own right now, Doug Melvin, the former Brewers general manager, yesterday was on the Big Show on our flagship station out of Milwaukee, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and talked about the beginning of he and Craig Counsell and that partnership with the Brewers.
I kept asking him, you want to be in a position of where he can have an impact on a club. And he wasn't quite sure at the time. They had him in the front office for a year and a half. And, you know, I knew at some point that I was going to transition into a lesser role and it was time to turn it over to somebody. And then, you know, the managerial position was still, Ron Reneke was still in place. So he wasn't exactly sure, but he worked in the front office a year and a half. And I think it really helped him so he could take what he understood upstairs and, you know, player transactions and how people work, and to understand, to much have a better feel for that when he's down on the field. And that, or the other thing is that being a manager, a tough job down there, but I think in the end, he just said, he had made a decision between the two. And when I made the change with Ron, I went and asked him again, and he said he was ready at that particular time to. He said, "I belong in a uniform," and I told him he could wear the uniform and come to the office if he wanted to, but he didn't want to do that. That wouldn't look very good. So I knew where he wanted to be, and that he's done a great job.
So then Doug was asked the question on what he saw in Craig Counsell. What makes Craig Counsell a genuinely good manager?
Craig had the one thing. He had 16 years. He had 4 World Series rings. Anybody you ever talked to, he was the best teammate. He was one of the best teammates anybody ever had. And in his role as a player, he had some years where he was a full-time player, but in his role as a part-time player, he was watching and understanding the game from the dugout. He was already managing in his own mind probably his last 2 or 3 years of playing. And I think that all helped him to be able to step in and manage without that experience of going to the minor leagues. And I think the other thing is, and this is one of the biggest things, is I think he had the respect of players, and it was time that to give someone who the players, he wasn't too far away from a lot of the players that were coming along in the game. They knew who Craig Counsell was. They were familiar with him. He's an easy story to talk about, and he deserved that chance, and it's turned out well for the Brewers.
And then when Doug Melvin was asked to give his thoughts on the current front office, on David Stearns, Mark Attanasio, what has gone on, and the way they ended up locking up Christian Yelich.
You know, you don't ever want to use the market as an excuse in that, because we have the great best fans in sports. They come out here every year and support us. But it was tough. You know, when I was general manager, I want to applaud Mark Attanasio, David Stearns, the council, and everybody, and Christian Yelich for taking that step and staying here, because it was well needed by this organization, by this franchise, well needed. But, you know, I went through a period where every free agent we had left us, from Carlos Lee to Zach Greinke to C.C. Sabathia to Prince Fielder to Francisco Cordero. Every one of those players left us and went on and became the highest paid player at that position. Prince was the highest paid first baseman. Carlos Lee became the highest paid left fielder. Greinke was the highest paid right-handed, Cordero the highest paid reliever. So they left us to become that. And you just sort of, after a while, and Sabathia the highest paid left-handed pitcher, but you understand that after a while.
And the question was, you know, when it came to Carlos Lee, El Caballo, remember, and then Bob Uecker used to make the horse sounds in the broadcast booth. But why did they lose Carlos Lee?
And I remember I was in the office, and Mark Attanasio was in the office at the time, and we were talking about Carlos Lee, and we thought, we have a chance to sign him. He really liked Milwaukee, liked playing here. We were starting to play better. He was a big cog in the middle of our lineup. And I said to Mark, getting some teams calling about trading for him. We can either trade for him if we think we can, or keep him if we think we can sign him. But I said, let's take one shot. So I called the agent, Adam Katz, and said, Adam, we're going to give you our best bullet here. Offered him 5 years at $11 million a year, which is $5 million, or 5 years, $11 million a year, $55 million. And I said, if you could let us know in the next 48 hours, then we can make a decision from an organizational standpoint. He called back in 30 minutes, and I said, Mark, come on in. I said, Adam's calling back. He called back in 30 minutes and said, Doug, you aren't even close. And so I traded him by midnight that night, because I just felt that if that ever got out in the media that he turned down 5 years of that, it would be very difficult to get the trade package that you would want. But he was right. He got $100 million from Houston. We weren't close. We had $55 million on the table.
Oh, my goodness.
He got $100 million, so we weren't close. But, you know, it was tough at that time. But those are the challenges of being a general manager and running a baseball franchise.
And then one of the biggest trades in Doug Melvin's career. Now, remember, you know, this team was on course to get to the postseason. They needed something. As Lou Brown in Major League said, it's starting to come all together. They just needed something to bring it all together. And Doug Melvin said trading for C.C. Sabathia, that was the highlight.
Well, that was pretty exciting. And I think we went into it thinking that we had a chance for him, and I think we were going to surprise a lot of people. I'm not sure everybody thought that when CC was going to be available, that the Brewers were a team, because it just wasn't part of the history over the past, over the previous 10, 12 years or so, 15 years. But it was probably one of the highlights, obviously, of my 20 years as a general manager career, and it was a short period of time, a few months. And the reason it was is because it meant so much to the city of Milwaukee at that time, because hadn't gone to the playoffs since 82, which is a long drought, 25 years. And it just meant so much to the franchise. But when he walked in the clubhouse, you know, we weren't just getting a left-handed pitcher. We got a great leader, and basically said, come on, guys, let's go have fun for that 3 months. And we did. We really did. And he fit in really well with a good group of young players at the time. And, you know, it was one of the highlights. 2011 was obviously a big highlight, too. But from a player acquisition, that stands out for me, the trading of Sabat.
That was a big one. I remember when all of a sudden the word came down. That was amazing. You would have thought that maybe the Zach Greinke deal was the big deal. He did talk about that. Here's what he had to say.
There's a lot of differences between some of the reports, and you go over the top prospect list, and you differ from what your scouts' opinions are or from your own opinion. You like to see the players. We knew we were giving up a really talented player in Lorenzo Cain and Escobar. Is an outstanding defender. We knew his bat was probably a little short, but Lorenzo was a tough one to give up there, but we also were getting a pitcher we were going to have at least for a year and a half. But it's different sometimes, Sparky, when you're making the trades. Are you making a trade to improve your ball club? I think the trades we made for Greinke were the trades because we felt there was a window of opportunity when we made Greinke trades. And Martin got Sean Markham, and that there's a window of opportunity to try to win, and I think at that particular time, that's what that trade was about. Hey guys, if we wait, we're not going to get a pitcher of his caliber again. And then we got Markham also as part of. He came over and helped us earlier on in the year. But you know, and then there's other trades you make just to make a trade to say, I think this trade makes us better now. You know, but those trades were opportunity trades that we had to make a decision. Do we want to take that chance? We did with the CC trade too, you know, and those were opportunities to say, I think if you remember, I did have a quote. I don't know whether people liked it or not, but I said, I think we're all in on this year for the younger players that we gave up. And the other part is I trusted our scouts and development people that for them to go find other players. Once you give up some young players, then it's their job to go find some players for the next few years.
And speaking of that, they get a guy of Ryan Braun's caliber now, bringing in Ryan Braun and the career of Ryan Braun. Yes, it always is brought up. It comes with a blemish. There's no doubt about it. But Doug Melvin kind of waxed nostalgic about Ryan Braun and his career, his whole career as a Milwaukee Brewer.
Well, he was there when we started turning this thing around. He was, you know, he's a great performer. He's still performing, but early on years, he was an outstanding performer, and I loved going back and watching the highlights on him and that. But I remember when Jack Zirinczyk drafted him, the one thing he talked about, he said, Doug, he said, this guy can really run, too. He can run. I didn't see him as an amateur. I relied on Jack at the time when we drafted him. And that was a pretty good draft at the time. It was Zimmerman from Washington. It was Alex Gordon. It was Troy Tulowitzki. It was Ryan Braun. And I remember I called Troy Tulowitzki's agent and asked if he would move to third base if we drafted him, and he wouldn't do that. So we drafted Braun because Jack really did like Ryan Braun, and I think it was the right move. But Ryan was a great player, and I had some really good players in Texas with Pudge Rodriguez and Juan Gonzalez and Palmeiro, Will Clark, and in Baltimore, Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken. But Ryan goes in probably my top five players that I've been associated with.
Now,
what he could do as an all-around player from running the bases, from hitting for power, hitting for average, and playing the game. And he had great instincts. He gets great instincts. You very seldom see Ryan Braun get thrown out at the bases.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember him getting thrown out. He had great instincts on the bases. But, you know, except for that little hiccup in his career, he's been an outstanding player.
So there you go. The hiccup in his career is what Doug Melvin stated. But no, I agree. Look, if you, and I hate to say this because you can't, but if you take away the quote hiccup in his career, you think about the numbers that Ryan Braun has put up. I mean, he still goes down as one of the greatest Brewers ever, right? I mean, when you think of the greatest Brewers, the first person you think of is Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, probably in that order. Then you start thinking of the home run power of a guy like Gorman Thomas. But, you know, certainly I think right after that, you got to go Ryan Braun in that sense. You got to go Ryan Braun in that top three, top four, top five, maybe, you know. I mean, for what he's done for the franchise, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But that was Doug Melvin yesterday when he joined the guys from the Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Hey, I've been telling you about the biofuels for a while now, and, well, more and more you were finding out, and I see gas prices are continuing to go down, and you can continue to get it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper when you go with the ethanol, whether it's E15, the unleaded 88, or the flex fuel, and it'll say it right there on the back of your vehicle or on your gas cap, flex fuel. But if you want to find out the information, all you got to do is go to abetterfuel.org. That is abetterfuel.org and see for yourself what it is I'm talking about. Because I'm telling you, if you got a car newer than 2001, chances are you can run the E15 or unleaded 88 through your vehicle, or maybe you have a flex fuel. But it really does. Like if you throw a stone in the pond, okay, when you buy that gasoline, it helps the corn growers in the upper Midwest and in our own backyard here in Wisconsin. It helps those that work in the refineries that turn this stuff into gasoline, and then it's distributed, and then it goes out to the great retailers all throughout the state, all throughout the upper Midwest. It just continues to grow and grow and grow, and it's also helping you a little bit at the pump when it comes to, 5 to 10 cents per gallon cheaper, and it also helps the environment. There's a lot of facts there that you need to know. A lot of facts. All you got to do is go to abetterfuel.org. That is abetterfuel.org and see for yourself what it is I've been talking about. That's our friends at the Biofuels Association. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. The NFL is going to broadcast one of their playoff games on a network that you wouldn't normally think of. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Blowing down the wire tonight. I'm singing through these power lines, and I'm running on time and feeling all right. Skipping over the currents in the air, reaching to see if you're out there. Come across your radio station, calling out nation to nation. If you can hear me, then say all right. And if you can't, meet me in the city tonight.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We are glad you are a part of the program. Thanks, as always, to our friends over at Quick Trip. And if you need to get in, you get out. You don't want to go to the big box stores. Bread, milk, eggs, butter, fruit, produce, whatever it happens to be, meats as well in the meat cabinet. Get in, get out. Here to serve you. They got you covered. That's our friends over there at Quick Trip trying to take care of the community and stay open. They continue to make sure that their shops, their places of business are sterilized best they can. And trying to stay the social distancing and such and keep America moving. That's what they're here for. And that's our friends over at Quick Trip. Don't forget about them. Just like I did earlier today. I stopped in and checked out my local Quick Trip a little bit earlier today as well. The NFL is going to put some playoff games in a place that you don't normally see it. So they're going to put them on a different network this upcoming season, believe it or not. Where, you ask? Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon. Here's a reason why. I get it. Because you want to expose a younger audience. You want to continue to grow your audience. And the NBA has done a fantastic job at keeping it young. The NBA has done a fantastic job of keeping both youth and corporations engaged. So generations that are upcoming are still... And it's grown. I mean, they've done a terrific job because their viewership has grown tremendously. But they have done a great job engaging youth. And there are times, look, when you get corporate white America sitting alongside courtside seats and such, and, you know, it's not necessarily the music that you want to hear or what have you, but they've done a great job at engaging a younger and broader demographic. And the NFL is going for that as well. The NFL is going to put it on Nickelodeon. And so it's just something that's different. You know, it's and it's, again, just it's not, it doesn't mean you're not going to see those games, but they're going to put them on Nickelodeon as well at a time in which normally you're talking about kids, you know, watching cartoons or what have you, you know, that you're going to be able to engage the NFL as a youth. So the NFL just trying to do different things. And, you know, let's be honest, Nickelodeon's probably paying a pretty good chunk of change alongside some of these cable networks that are trying to put this stuff together. But the NFL also sees the opportunity, and smartly, to grow their audience, to try to engage and bring in more youth. Because remember, a lot of parents are saying to the kids that want to play football, nah, you know, not with the head injuries. And we have seen a drastic reduction in the Pee Wee football, in the Pop Warner football. And so what the NFL is trying to do is basically say, you know, hey, this is another way that you can go. This is another way that, you know, hey, if you want to look at, you know, possibly becoming a professional athlete, this is great. Take a look at this. Go bug your mom and dad, because we're going to put up a lot of Play 60 advertisements. We're going to put in a lot of, you know, flag football advertisements. So the NFL owners voted to expand the playoff format from 12 to 14 teams yesterday, and it's going to create a couple of additional wild card games, and both of those games are going to be aired in different forms. NBC is going to air the extra game, which is going to broadcast at 7:15 Central Time on January 10th, and CBS is going to do it. The Nickelodeon game will be broadcast at 3:40 Eastern Time on January 10th, and that is going to be tailored commercially for a younger demographic. They say the youth demographic, very important. There's plenty of young fans, and they want to continue to bring the game to young fans. But they also want to get young fans playing baseball again, or playing football again, and not having mom and dad worry about whether or not you're taking head hits. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, when we come back, stay tuned. We got a lot more coming up. Bill Huber from PackerCentral.com and SI.com, he is going to be joining us. So stay tuned. Whole lot more of the Bill Michael Show coming up right after this.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.